into the issue of what help is given to young people who come out of full-time education. Now, the figures tell their own story. Just 17% of people with a learning disability are in any form of work. That's compared to 46% of those who have a physical disability and 80% of the general population. The DUP's Robin Swan is the chairperson of the Employment and Learning Committee, and he's available to have a conversation with us now. Robin Swan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
This is concerning, isn't it, that 17% of people with a learning disability who go through some form of special needs education and a very good system, in the end, they don't have really many opportunities to be in the real world.
Yeah, and Frank, that's what our committee inquiry was focused on, and we've been working on this for the past 2 years, and it's a sound piece of work, it's a good piece of work, and it's those statistics that really drove the committee to see what provision is out there and what can be done and what should be done for the young people who are leaving special educational schools and going into the wider workplace at age 18, and that's what we concentrated on.
And is it really down to workplaces being more open to the idea of employing someone with a learning disability?
What some of the things that we found coming out of this report and this inquiry, Frank, were that not one size doesn't fit everybody coming out of a special educational need school. And it's really, work isn't going to suit everybody, but what we should be doing is preparing a system that prepares people to go to work and allows them the ability to go to work. So we'll be looking along the lines of the opportunities that are there. Should it be daycare centres that are probably provided for? Should it be work opportunities, further educational colleges, or even the fact that, you know, there's a large vulnerability community sector out there who are supplying work opportunities, the likes of 180 Cafe and Portadown, Alternative Angles and Ballymena. There are work opportunities out there, but it's actually finding that paid work for young people with special educational needs that is a real challenge.
Thankfully, there are outlets that are providing it. I had a conversation with a young person only a few days ago who would come under that umbrella of having had a challenge when it comes to learning, but who's holding down actually two separate seats of employment and was telling me about the money that was coming in, and that's reassuring.
Yes, well, that's it. But, you know, what we're finding is there's a number of young people like that, and I think probably a prime example where they're holding down two part-time opportunities rather than being able to enter into a five-day working week if that was available for them. And that's the opportunity we have to look for and the opportunity we have to create. We discussed with a number of employers who were actually reluctant to take on people with special educational needs because they were feared and scared of the bureaucracy that would come with it. They wanted to, but there was always that residual fear that, you know, how much is this going to cost in my business? What other regulations am I going to have to put into place? So there's a job of work that can be done through Stormont, through the Department of the Economy, as it will be, that can make employers understand and realise the value that these young people can bring to their companies.
And do you feel there should actually be positive discrimination in favour of a person with a learning disability?
Well, we did look at the line of introducing social clauses. We have social clauses into large government contracts in regards for young people not in employment, education or training. So there is an opportunity here that we can look at. I don't want to go as strong as positive discrimination, but we should be looking at creating the right opportunities for young people coming out of special educational needs school at age 18 and giving them all the support that we can and giving their families the support that they can, because there's an awful pressure being put on mother, fathers, siblings, uncles and aunts, grannies and grandas who are looking after the young people. And once they leave school at age 18, it's a real challenge for them to deliver a full-time working week or a full-time week activity that doesn't involve them.
Yeah. How concerned should we be that every other person with a disability isn't in employment?
Well, employment isn't the only solution, Frank, and I think that's one of the things we should look at as well. You know, as I said earlier, not one size fits all. And it should be from the day opportunities are there, should it be. You know, we looked at social farms, we looked at the opportunities coming from social enterprises as well. You know, not everybody with a disability is able to enter work, but it's also the fact that we focused on was young people with special educational needs at 18 and the challenges they're facing them. We have an ability at this moment in time, we track the numbers coming through primary school into secondary schools through the health trust. We know exactly, well, how many young people are going to be available or entering the field of work or further education or day opportunities every year. So there should be, if we have a coordinated approach across all departments, we should be able to put in place a person-centered approach so that every young person with a special educational need leaving school would know exactly where they're going and what path is going to be laid out for them.
The other side of this coin, of course, is the more legislation comes in, the more equality is in place. There's the fear that someone with a learning disability may be almost forced to seek employment when he or she is simply not capable of it.
No, I don't think that's a fair comment, Frank, because that's, you know, as one of the things we're saying, we didn't solely focus on employment. It was about the other opportunities that are out there and other opportunities that should be looked at through a person-centred approach. So we should be guiding where that young person is going through their ability. And that, you know, that's very clearly laid out through what is currently called the transition process, where there's a lot of input from social workers, educational specialists, and health provision as well.
So there's no risk of a young person like that losing the benefits that they're entitled to?
No. Well, I don't think there should be. And it was one of the concerns that was raised in one of the recommendations that we did look at and we didn't make. And it's not only the recommendation that the young person may lose their benefits. One of the things we actually found was a reluctance in parents and carers that if their child entered a full-time work placement for more than 16 hours, that their benefits would actually be affected as well. And these are benefits that are necessary to support this young person to remain in their home. You know, this is much needed money that's needed to support these young people as they stay with their families.
Okay, it is certainly a delicate issue, and we've had many a conversation with the nooks and crannies of the benefit system. Robin Shaw, thanks for your...
Frank, sorry, I need to point out as well, I'm Ulster Unionist, not DUP.
Did I say DUP?
I wrap my knuckles,
Robin. Sorry about that. Thank you.
No problem. Frank, listen, thank you very much for covering this. I much appreciate it.
Not a bother. Robin Swan there from the Ulster Unionist, of course.